IB Nation, welcome back to the Irish Breakdown Podcast. It's Tuesday, December 10th. Trev and I were talking before the show. Man, it feels like we haven't done a show together for a while. But the reality is we have done shows together recently. They just haven't been as much Notre Dame related, but we are back to talking Notre Dame football. Irish have a pretty big game coming up here next week. We are over a week away from Notre Dame hosting the first ever on-campus college football playoff game in history, which is pretty cool that we will be a part of that, Trev. I'm very excited about that. I know you're very excited about that. But it's a big moment, big opportunity for Notre Dame. They play a very good Indiana team next week, and we're going to break that game down a lot over these next 2 weeks on the website, on the message board, and, of course, here on the Irish Breakdown Podcast. But first this week, Trev, you know, Notre Dame has this thing where Marcus Freeman talks all the time about, look, we're going to focus on us. We got to focus on our team. We got to focus on the golden standard, right? It's the TGS, the thing they yell at the end of every break. And that's really kind of where we are going to start our analysis of Notre Dame. And we're going to kind of take a big picture view of Notre Dame's units heading into the playoff and what we need to see from them, breaking down where they are, where they need to be, where are they good enough to make a run, where do they have to get better or show improvement, and where do they need to be at their best. And we'll do that today. So we're going to talk all things Notre Dame offense today. We're going to talk about, kind of look at the season overview. We're going to do a statistical breakdown of where they rank going into the season. We're going to talk about the things that we view are as building blocks of a championship run, stumbling blocks of a championship run as well. We'll talk about areas where the offense needs to thrive, areas where the offense needs to improve more specifically. We'll get into three keys to success for the offense, and we're going to have some fun with that. No mailbag today. If you guys want to ask us a question, go ahead and throw in a super chat. We'll get to that. But we're going to have some fun with this, Trev. And then tomorrow, we're going to sort of do a bit of a twofold deal. We're going to, for about 30 minutes tomorrow, we're going to do a little bit of a rundown of kind of a Notre Dame rundown of some different topics. We'll talk special teams. We'll talk about, you know, breakout players, all that kind of stuff. And then we'll have a buy, sell, hold. And then Thursday, we will do the same thing for the defense. And then, of course, Friday is going to be our mailbag. So we're going to have a lot to discuss here these next few days, everybody. And then, of course, Saturday at noon, we will have our countdown to kickoff, where we'll preview Army-Navy. But then that's when we're going to do our big breakdown of the four first-round playoff games. Will be this Saturday at noon. It'll be Trevor and I. Sean Stiers is going to be with us. So we're going to have some fun breaking that down. And then starting Monday of next week, probably Monday, we are going to then take a deep dive into the Notre Dame-Indiana matchup specifically. So we'll talk Notre Dame. And in the mailbag and buy, sell, hold, if you guys want to talk about Indiana, if you guys want to talk about the matchup, we will answer those questions. So there'll be plenty of Indiana conversation. We're just going to start with Notre Dame and then build to the matchup against Indiana. So it's going to be a lot of fun. I can't wait to get into that and dive into all that, Trev. But, man, it's a great time to be a Notre Dame fan. It's just an exciting time because now it's like, look, all the talk has happened. Hey, we're good. We're not good. This team's good. This team's not good. Yes, this is a championship team. No, it's not a championship team. All that debate gets settled here over the next month. And that's where you want to be, right? You want to be on this stage with an opportunity to say, hey, listen, if we are that good, if we are that team, you get a chance to either prove it now or certain things get exposed that you got to look, go back to the drawing board and say, we got to get better here. And there's no better place to be. There really isn't.
I'm excited, man. I'm happy that the playoffs are here. I'm happy that the speculation is over. You and I were talking before the show about, you know, just why we like this playoff format. And you know what? Round one, you're separating the, you know, the good teams from the great teams. You know, you move on to the quarterfinals, you're separating the great teams from the elite teams. Once you get to the quarterfinals, semifinals, you're separating those elite teams from those championship caliber teams. So, you know, you already touched on it, but throughout this week and throughout next week, we're going to talk about what Notre Dame has to do to be considered a championship caliber team. But first, Brian, you know what we got to do. We got to talk about our friends over at MyBookie. So as you guys know, it's been a crazy season of football. And like we've talked about, the college football playoffs start in 2 weeks. The NFL playoffs start in a month, which is crazy. But before all of that happens, be sure to sign up with our friends over at MyBookie. So if you don't know where to start, try the risk-free Thursdays. Basically what that means is if you place a bet on Thursday through MyBookie and it doesn't hit for whatever reason, you get your money back. I always do it on Thursday Night Football. So this week, the Rams take on the 49ers in another divisional matchup. So be sure to check that out. If you don't know where it's at, check it out under the Bet Boosts tab. So if you need to take a break from sports betting, because sometimes I know I need to, but you still want to kind of get your gamble on a little bit, you can check out their live casino and play some blackjack right there from your couch. So if you have yet to sign up, make sure that you sign up using promo code Irish. And what that's going to do is on your first deposit, MyBookie will double your money instantly. So if you deposit $10, they're instantly going to give you an additional $10 in bonus bets. So with the playoffs coming up, you know there's about to, you know MyBookie's about to roll out some killer promotions. But in order to do so, you have to make sure that you sign up with MyBookie. So bet anything, anytime, anywhere with our friends over at MyBookie.
So you have to take a timeout, or the missus tells you you need to take a timeout from gambling. I'm curious, which one is more prominent in the Trowbridge house?
I plead the fifth. I'm ready to talk about some Notre Dame football today, Brian.
That's what I thought. I'm excited to talk about Notre Dame football too, Trevor, and we're going to begin sort of our breakdown with the offense, because there's two ways we could have gone with this today, right? One is, look, start with the defense, because that's the side of the ball that, for the most part, has really driven this team's success this season, right? It's another year where the defense is just really, really good. But the other way to go with it is, okay, which unit success is most important to this team making a title run? I think we would all agree that the defense is good enough to win a title. There's going to be a game between now and the title game, if they get there, where the defense is just – it's going to be a lot like the USC game, that this, it's just a bad matchup for them. They're not, it's just not their day. The other team is having a great day, where you're going to need the offense to pick up the slack. And even if your defense is great, you're off. Perfect example. The Texas defense didn't lose them the SEC championship game. Their offense did. Their defense gave them chance after chance after chance after chance in the first half to put that game away, and the offense couldn't capitalize. So you're going to have games like that, right? If the defense holds Georgia to 22 or fewer points, you should got to win that game. But that's only if your offense steps up. And so when you and I talked about, you know, the shows for this week, Trev, it was basically, listen, the offense is going to have to play championship football. Like that's the side of the ball that's going to have to step up. And will Notre Dame's offense be able to rise to the occasion and play good enough for enough games to say, hey, you can go win this? Because here's the way it's going to work, Trev. If Notre Dame does, in fact, get to the win a championship, I can promise you that, not promise you, with a great deal of certainty, I will say there will be a game where the offense is going to have to win the game. There will be a game where the defense is going to have to win the game because the offense doesn't have it. And then the other two games, you got to be good on both sides of the ball. And so that puts a lot more pressure on this offense to really raise their level of play now that they're facing better defenses. Because what Notre Dame has not faced on offense in a long time is a defense that is not only coached well and executes at a high level, which they have, right? Army is that. Navy is that. But also has the athletes and the size and the power to say, hey, we can go toe-to-toe with you, Notre Dame. And that's what they're going to face over this next month. And it starts against Indiana, which is statistically one of the better defenses in college football. Then if they beat Indiana, they get to play Georgia, who also has a pretty good defense. And if they beat them, then they're going to have to play either SMU, Boise State, or Penn State, all of which have pretty good defenses, especially Penn State has a pretty good defense. And then you get in a title game. Maybe it's an Oregon. Maybe it's Ohio State. Maybe it's Tennessee. Maybe it's Texas. We don't know. There's a lot of good defenses in college football this year. Not a lot of truly great offenses, Trevor. So to me, a title is going to be won by the team whose offense can get hot during the playoffs. And that's where the pressure is on this Notre Dame football team and this Notre Dame offense is this group is going to have to step up. You know, as we talk big picture, we'll get into the more specifics of it and all those type of things. This is the group. This is the side of the ball that ultimately is going to determine if this is a team who just gets to the playoff, gets beat. If this is a team that gets into the playoffs and wins a game, can they win a couple, or can they make a run all the way to the end? That's what we're going to find out, but that's what they're going to need to be.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, you look at historically Notre Dame's in these types of games, right? When they reach the playoffs, when they reach a New Year's Six Bowl, the offense is the one that struggles to get going. Historically, and I understand the final scores might not reflect the defensive performance overall, but you know, the first game that comes to mind for me is 2018 Clemson. You know, that game got blown open in the second quarter due to an injury. However, the offense was not able to help play any sort of complement to what the defense was doing. So for me, the way that I look at it, Notre Dame, in order to make a run at the national championship, has to play four games of good complementary football, to your point. Now, you alluded earlier to the USC game, which was the first game in their first 12 where the offense really had to, no matter what, you got to respond. You got to go out and respond. And I believe that that's a really good foundation for where they're at. Now, I also look at things as realistically as I possibly can. USC's defense is not going to be as good as Georgia's defense when they face them, right? USC's defense might not be as good or won't be as good as Indiana's when they face them. You know what I mean? But that type of mentality from the offense should spark a little bit of something in them to know that, hey, today the defense just doesn't have it. We've been in games before where we've had to pick up the slack. We've had to have no wasted possessions. We've had to score on back-to-back-to-back drives. They did that against Louisville. They did that against USC. So Notre Dame has a good foundation in order to do this. Now it's just building upon it. And, you know, you and I are going to dive into what hopefully some of the key things that they are focusing on over this, you know, bye week period before their game next Friday. Hopefully those are going to be the things that they're focusing on.
Prize Picks is America's number one daily fantasy sports app with over 5 million active members. Prize Picks is the easiest and most exciting way to play daily fantasy sports. Unlike other apps on Prize Picks, it's just you against the numbers. All you do is pick more or less on 2-6 player stat projections and watch the winnings roll in. Get in on the daily action with your friends and become part of the Prize Picks community today. You can now win up to 100 times your money on Prize Picks with as little as 4 correct picks. You can turn $10 into $1,000. I'm a Bears fan, so this one gets me really excited. One Caleb Williams passing yard gets you one win on Prize Picks every week in September. That's right. Only 1 yard gets you an automatic win every football weekend in September. 4 weeks of free W's. Don't miss this deal on Prize Picks because it's gone when September ends. Think Tyreek Hill will get more than 90.5 yards in week one? Aaron Jones runs for more than 66.5 yards? Cook up hot takes with your friends and win real money this football season when you and your crew run your game on Prize Picks. Prize Picks also has college picks all ready to go for you as well. Get in before game one hits, and you can predict how many passing yards your favorite college quarterback will hit. For me, I think Riley Leonard's going to go above 2,550.5 yards, so I'm going to take that one, and I'm going to combine it with Quinn Ewers to throw 2,999.5 yards. Put those together, and bing, bang, boom, baby. I'm going to be a winner. You just wait and see. I'm coming up on my 1-year anniversary of depositing my first $10, and I received an instant $10 bonus. If you have the skills, you can play for a shot at turning your $10 into $1,000. Download the Prize Picks app today and use code IRISH for a first deposit match up to $100. That's code IRISH on Prize Picks for a deposit match up to $100. Prize Picks, run your game.
Well, the first thing this offense and this entire team needed was rest. And they got a lot of that during championship week. So Marcus Freeman said they didn't return to the practice field till Saturday. So they got their weightlifting in, but they didn't get to the practice field till Saturday because this has been a very long season for this offense. And as we kind of begin the look back, the breakdown of this offense, we got to talk about where it came from, Trevor, and what we've seen from this unit as we've gone through the season, because we're sitting here talking about now a team that finished the season ranked high in the national rankings. We'll dive into the statistical outlook now in a minute, but we're going to kind of talk about how they got there, because if you'd have told me at the end of September going into that first bye, right, first Saturday of October, that Notre Dame is going to be a team that scores a ton of points and is top 5 national scoring team and all that other kind of stuff, I'm not going to lie to you, Trev. I'd have been like, yeah, you're drinking the Homer juice again. I don't know what's going on with you right now, but like you're talking crazy talk right now. Because that's they just weren't that. I mean, to start the season, Trevor, you're talking about a team that in their first four games, only scored over 28 points once. And that was a 66-point outburst against Purdue. Their scoring average at the time wasn't bad through five games, Trevor, because they did have that blowout. But if you look at where they were the first five games of the year, they were at 32.4 points per game going into the bye. 32.4. Why? Because they had a 66-point outburst against Purdue. They were not a very good football team on offense. And then you look at the statistics. They had the 578-point outburst against Purdue. They went for 428 against Miami of Ohio. Now, come to find out, Miami, Ohio, and Northern Illinois had really good defenses for the Group of Five level. But I don't care. You're still Notre Dame. Those are defenses. You score minimum 31 to 35 points on minimum. And they scored a grand total of 42 in those two games against MAC teams. They went for 286 against Northern Illinois, 280 against Louisville, and 356 against Texas A&M. Again, not an offense that was really lighting the world on fire. They had been held below 6 yards of play. Matter of fact, they had been held below 5.6 yards of play in three of their five games to start the season. And if you look at their current season average, they were held below their current season average of yards per play four of their first five games. So you look at it and you're thinking, okay, offense is struggling. Everyone on their mother wants Riley Leonard benched because he's struggling. You couldn't score in Northern Illinois. You couldn't score on Miami of Ohio. You needed a Riley Leonard fourth quarter 50-yard touchdown run to put that game away. Thank goodness your defense was balling out. Your offensive line had lost there by halftime of the third game of the season. You had lost your starting left tackle, your starting center, your starting right guard. Your preseason All-American tight end was basically a catch here, a catch there, doing nothing. Your receiving core wasn't doing a whole lot, and your big-time transfer quarterback didn't look like he forgot how to throw football. I mean, that's the storyline going into the Louisville game. You started to see flashes going into the Louisville game, Trevor, but going into that game, we saw this football team start to get right. And coming out of it, very different deal. The offensive line, it's kind of like this, Trev. There's always like little steps down, you know, but the trajectory upwards was really good. You looked at what we saw from Riley Leonard. That got better and better and better and better as things went on. You look at the playmakers that started to step up and make more plays. There's, you know, Mitchell Evans had some games here and there. They just slowly started to ascend, and they did so, Trevor, against a schedule that was a little bit interesting. Like it was a good schedule defensively. It had some good teams in it. Obviously, Georgia Tech was a pretty scrappy defense this season. You know, they gave up 44 points to Georgia. They only gave up 24 in regulation. You know, they gave up a bunch after, you know, post regulation, right? I mean, Navy's got a pretty decent defense this season. Stanford's defense isn't very good. Florida State's defense is not very good. Virginia's defense is not very good. Army's defense is very good. USC's defense is much improved. So it was a quality schedule, but not a gauntlet. And it was really a get-right opportunity coming out of the break with Stanford, Georgia Tech, and Navy. Because even though Navy has a good defense, it's good for the Group of Five level. It wasn't one that should stop Notre Dame. You know, Georgia Tech had a scrappy defense, but it wasn't one that should have necessarily stopped Notre Dame. And they were able to go down that during that stretch and do what we said they needed to do, which is get right. And coming out of that, Trevor, we saw a completely different offense. And then, of course, down the stretch, Notre Dame scored 51, 52, 35, 49, and 49 in their last five games. Had two pick sixes at the end of the USC game, but the offense scored 35 points in the first three quarters. I mean, it was 35-21 going into the fourth quarter. had they not had two pick sixes, we don't know if the offense would have been able to go put a drive together. I think, what, two possessions in the entire fourth quarter. One of them, they started inside their own 10, right? So it was a little bit of a different animal, but there's no doubt about it. When you look at how they performed down the stretch, Trev, last six, seven games, 477 yards, 385, 466, 453, 448, 462, 436. Yards per play coming out of the bye, 7.2, 5.6, 7.2, 7.3, 6.3, 9.8, 7.2. If you look at that 5.58 total was the worst game of the last seven games. That would have been their third best performance of the first five. Better than A&M, better than Northern Illinois, better than Louisville. And it was a different group. And a couple things we saw. Notre Dame was a very young team coming into the season on offense. Nine starters were freshman or sophomore eligibility. And the two that weren't were the senior transfers, right? Because Jordan Faison started, Jade Greathouse. And that group needed more time to get going. I think the biggest misread that I had coming into the season on the offense was I didn't put enough into Riley Leonard's missed time. I thought he'd be able to make up for the missed time that he had in the spring. And the offensive line injuries, we could not have anticipated. So when you think about what we expected from this offense, I think those two things, one, we should have done a better job of anticipating. Although we did say, like, the offense is going to need time to hit its full stride. I just didn't think it was going to be that bad in the first month. Like, we knew it would need some time. I didn't know we need that. The baseline to start would be that low, right? And then, of course, the injuries, I don't know how you can anticipate those. There's no way to anticipate those. But by the end of the year, this offense was a much, much better, much, much better football team. And, you know, you can talk about, you know, how good are some of these teams and all that. Well, look, USC doesn't have a great defense, right? We talked about that, but nobody scored more than 35 offensive points against them. LSU had 20. Michigan had 27. Wisconsin, 21. Minnesota, 24. Penn State had 33, needed overtime to do that. Maryland had 29. Rutgers, 26. 20. Washington, 36. Nebraska, 20. UCLA, 13. And Notre Dame scored 35 and basically had one real possession in the fourth quarter. Scored 49 as a team. 436 yards allowed was the second most they gave up all year. Penn State was the only one that went for higher, and they're 7.15 yards per play. They were the only team all season to go for over 7 yards a carry or 7 yards a play against USC. So that was the thing, is they were doing things to these defenses that nobody else was really doing, and that to me is really the mark of how do you gauge where you are. And that's what we saw as we kind of looked through the course of the season, was just a tremendous amount of growth from this group as we went through the campaign.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the journey that Notre Dame's offense went on this season was, one, very stress-inducing for myself personally. But, you know, it leaves a lot of room for excitement, because sometimes you look at a team, and where we were at before the bye week was, I mean, how much better is this offense going to get? Is this kind of what it's going to look like for the rest of the year? Because in 2022 and 2023, that's kind of where we were at. You know, in 2022, there came a point in the season where it was just kind of, yeah, this is what this offense is going to do. We know what they're going to do. We know what they're going to roll out there on Saturdays. In 2023, it was, okay, we know where this offense is at. They're going to ball out on the bad teams, and they're going to struggle against the good teams. And for Notre Dame's offense this year, for the first – in every game leading up to the Louisville game, it was a lot like that. You know, it was a lot of, well, here we go again. And here goes this offense that's going to, you know, do some good things just because they have the athletes there to do it. They have Jeremiah Love. They have Jadarian Price. Riley Leonard's a great runner. But I didn't really know if this is going to be an offense that could go toe-to-toe with somebody in a shootout or, you know, really put football games away like they showed that they could down the stretch. But you and I talked a lot around where they come out after their first bye week is going to be huge for this team. If they come out after their first bye week and it looks eerily similar to what happened in the first five games, Notre Dame is going to be a bubble playoff team. And if they get in, we got question marks around the first round, right? Now, looking at where they're at and the growth that they were on, it leaves a lot of room for excitement. Not saying that they're a finished product, but what leaves me excited is the stride that they made in their first bye week, which was literally just an additional week of time. Now, Freeman and Denbrock and Dylan McCullough and Mike Brown and all of these guys on offense now have essentially 2.5 weeks to get their offense fine-tuned, geared up, ready for a playoff run. So I think it leaves a lot of room for excitement. And about the USC game, one thing that I think is funny, you mentioned the final score being 35-21. Jaden Maiava was responsible for all 28 points that were scored in the fourth quarter. It's just 14 of those went to Notre Dame. Yeah. It's just crazy to look at where that score was, you know, going into the fourth quarter. But Notre Dame's offense, they're poised to take an additional step. We just don't know how big it's going to be. We have ideas of what they need to do to get there. But as of right now, it remains an unknown because ultimately we can speculate all we want to. We're going to find out a lot on December 20th of where they're at.
If you're like me, you're looking for an edge for sports betting. So when I heard MasterClass had a new class on betting the odds taught by the pros who've made millions, I had to check it out. With MasterClass, you can learn from the best to become the best. MasterClass is the only streaming platform where you can learn and grow from over 200 of the world's best. For just $10 a month, an annual membership with MasterClass gets you unlimited access to every instructor. And you can access MasterClass on your phone, computer, smart TV, or even in audio mode. Go past guessing, learn data-driven strategies and tactical thinking from the pros who've mastered high-stakes sports betting. Sharpen your skills, assess risks, and make better decisions. And the classes really do make a difference. 88% of members feel that MasterClass has made a positive impact on their lives. Plus, every new membership comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee. So don't wait another moment to start your learning journey with MasterClass. MasterClass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes as much as 50% off. So head over to masterclass.com/Irish for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/Irish. masterclass.com/Irish. And remember, all sports betting involves risk, and you are responsible for complying with all sports betting laws in your jurisdiction. So forget the lucky jersey or the assigned seating on game day. Learn from the sharps who meticulously manage risk and evaluate data when making decisions on where and when to wager their money. Only with MasterClass. You've had Wendy's nugs dipped in sauce, but have you had them covered in sauce? Wendy's new saucy nugs takes the crispy and spicy nugs that you love and turn them up to 11. Choose between flavors like buffalo, honey barbecue, garlic parm, or if you're a real heat seeker, try spicy ghost pepper only on Wendy's signature spicy nugs. I dare you. That's 7 delicious ways to try the nugs you already love. Pick a flavor, grab some extra napkins, and prepare to nug like you've never nugged before. For a whole new way to nug, it's gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's.
Trev, when you look at the offense and kind of where it came from, I think your point about the type of team they were coming out of the bye is very well said. And you look just the numbers say it. And I even think that first game against Stanford, it took them a little bit of time. Like the first quarter, they were moving the ball, but they kept shooting themselves in the foot. You know, you're driving. Riley takes off on a big long run. You're right around the red zone is where he went out. You get a holding penalty, takes you back. You know, he hits a really nice completion. Bo Collins is doing it after the catch, and then he fumbles. You know, I mean, it's like that was and still is a big part of this offense is the problems, and we'll dive into that. But you could see it a little bit. And the biggest thing is, as you mentioned, Mike Denbrock coming out of that bye was a different offensive coordinator. Not in he believed in different things, but it was more of a coming out of that bye, he had a much better idea of who his offense was. He had a much better idea of, okay, we do this well, we don't do that well. Riley's good at this, he's not good at that. We can protect this, we can't protect that. There were a lot of those things that you saw it with the RPO, the jump in RPO usage and effectiveness. We saw with mix-ups in the run game, how they're using the run game. We saw it with, you know, the pass game, some different concepts that they were trying to do a lot early that they just stopped doing, or they found different ways to do. That's good coaching. And that's what this staff did. And you know, Mike Denbrock is a different coordinator, but I think it's a group effort. I mean, your whole staff is a part of that process. And that's really what this came down to for me, Trev, is that's good coaching. Instead of saying, hey, this is who we are, this is who we want to be, this is what I believe in as a coordinator, so let's roll and it's up to you to figure it out. Coming out of the bye, they said, okay, this is where we'd like to be, but we're not there right now. We are here, and we've got to coach to what we are. We don't have big-time playmakers or receiver. We thought we brought in some guys. We thought we had some young guys who could step up. They're just not that who we thought they were, maybe. Our stud tight end is just not 100%. You could see it early in September. We have great running backs. We have an offensive line that struggles to pass block, but is really good at run blocking. We have a quarterback that's a really good runner. You saw, and then the other thing too is you saw a lot less of Riley Leonard being the focal point of the run game, which we saw early in the season, and that benefited as well. And then, of course, as we'll dive into more, the big thing that we saw different coming out of that break is the run game. And here's a stat for you. Notre Dame went over 200 yards rushing in all but one game after the first bye. And that was Georgia Tech. They went for 168. That was an impressive performance. But that was Mike Denbrock leaning into, this is who we are. This is what we do well. And they did it for a period of time. And they've been over 230 in each of their last three games. So it is certainly an impressive stretch there for the offense. And as we kind of do a dive into the season rundown, Trev, before we get into what this team needs to do and improvements and strengths, let's just take a quick look at their overall view. I want to answer a question in the chat, though, somebody did have, as we dive in this statistical thing. Riley Leonard has already tied the school record for rushing touchdowns by a quarterback. He tied Brandon Wimbush, who previously set the record at 14 in 2017. Deshaun Kaiser's number two with 10. And so he has already set that record, tied that record, and he just needs one more, obviously, to set that record here in the postseason. But just something to keep in mind. And then the all-time rushing touchdowns in a season record. Rushing yards, rushing touchdowns. All right, I got this old. They gave us this great little Notre Dame gave us this records book at the beginning of the season. It's all the program records in it, which is flipping awesome. But most rushing touchdowns in a season those are single game records. Let's go to season records. Most rushing touchdowns in a season. I thought Audric said it last year, right? I'm looking for it. Yes, Audric said it last year at 18. So right now, Jeremiah Love is tied with Autry Denson for seventh. If he gets hurt, if he gets one more, he'll tie for fourth. If he gets two more, he'll be tied for second. Three more, he'll tie Audric Estime's record. I don't think that I've ever seen a season where you had a quarterback and a running back go for 10-plus touchdowns in a season. But, it's been a very impressive performance. Notre Dame has never had two. I'm looking at this now. They've never had two players in the same season go for 10 or more touchdowns. So it's an impressive performance. So, Trev, it should not shock you then that Notre Dame is let me pull this down because those are not the proper statistics here, real quick. Give me a second. I copied the wrong thing, so just give me one second here. So get this fixed here, because those rushing numbers were – I gave you the old rushing numbers instead of the new rushing numbers. That is where they were a while ago. So let me put the new numbers in there, and we'll get that rolling.
In 2017, sorry to just kind of touch on this.
Okay, I can get this fixed.
It's weird to think that in 2017, when Brandon Wimbush had 14 rushing touchdowns, Josh Adams didn't get 10.
Yeah. He was at nine, I believe. Gotcha. But the thing about it is they were all long touchdowns.
Sure.
So he had nine. Man. But like you think of like, dude, I remember this run. I remember that run. I remember that run. I remember that run.
Yeah.
They were all long touchdowns.
True.
But yeah, he only had nine rushing touchdowns that season.
That's weird. And Jadarian Price has seven. Yeah, I mean, depending on what happens in the playoffs, right. I mean, that Notre Dame could have three rushers with over 10 rushing touchdowns.
Well, keep in mind, Josh didn't score a touchdown in the last five games of the season. He didn't, because remember, he got banged up. He didn't score a rushing touchdown in the last five games of the season. So, it was he did not finish as strong as he obviously performed early in the season. That's for sure. So I'm going to go ahead and get these fixed here, Trev, and make sure that I'm giving you guys accurate numbers. Obviously, that's always a plus, right? Getting accurate data. So just bear with me. But you look at it, Trevor, the one thing is that we were asked this question a lot coming into the season, right? Okay, can Notre Dame go out and be a team that can score 40 points a game?
Right.
And my answer, honestly, was probably not. I don't really know if they're that. They might get close, and that's exactly what they were. They certainly got close. They got very close this season. Yeah. And 39.8 mm-hmm. is where they're at going into the postseason.
Number three in the country. They're at 42.0 against Power Five opponents.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So just give me a second, Trev. I'm going to have this number up here real quick.
Yeah. Now, I mean, it's interesting to think about when you bring that up, because we talk about the roller coaster ride of this season. And if you would have asked me before week one, right, going into fall camp, do I believe that this is an offense that could score over 40 points a game? I think my answer would have been yes. And then through the first four games, really the first five, I was like, no. And because you saw glimpses of it against Louisville, you know, they had that 21-point first quarter, and then I think they had 62 total yards of offense between the second and the third quarter. So, yes, kind of, no, kind of. And then out of the bye, like we've talked about, there was just an explosion of offense. And I think you hit the nail on the head, man. I mean, it's a testament to really, really good coaching. Mike Denbrock was able to maximize what he had. That's the mark of really good coaching. And I'm not going to dive too much into it now because we're going to talk about them all next week. But you want to talk about maximizing your players' potential and getting players to perform above their God-given ability, things that Marcus Freeman preaches. That's why IU's so good this year, man. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's a testament to really good coaching on either side. You know, for Indiana, it kind of started from jump because we saw the run that they had went on really up until they had played, like that offensive run and that offensive output, really until they played Michigan a couple weeks before Ohio State. So it's, you know, like I said, it's a testament to really, really good coaching. IU just started off a little bit quicker than Notre Dame, but once Notre Dame got their feet under them.
Well, it is kind of interesting when you talk about it compared to that team, because they did – I mean, they scored 77 points in an early game. They were over 40 multiple times going into that game.
Yeah.
So, and I'm going to be able to pull up the statistics here real quick and get them to you. So give me 1 second. I was looking at those like, yeah, that's not right. Those numbers definitely don't look right. All right, here we go, Trev. We actually have real numbers now. So let's look at where Notre Dame was statistically this season. Finished the season third in scoring offense at 39.8. That number just requires a little bit of conversation, Trevor, because one thing about Notre Dame is they had six defensive touchdowns this season. And so sometimes, and if you take off the points for that, and they had one time where they missed an extra point. The offense itself, just the offense alone, was at 36.4 points per game. That would rank them 14th nationally. Then my counter to that is, if only they would have made half of their missed field goals, they would have been, so that'd be 15 more points. They would have been at, because they were 8 of 18. If they made half of their field goals and only went 13 and 18. You and I discussed this last night. 13 and 18 is okay. It's not great. If they just would have gone 13 of 18 and also made the one extra point they missed because their third string kicker was in the game, they would have averaged 37.8 points per game, which would have ranked them seventh. So the defensive scoring vaulted them up to third, but they're an elite top 10 scoring offense just on what the offense has done alone. And you kind of have to take that a little bit nuanced, because it just because the defense scored doesn't mean the offense wouldn't have scored had they got the ball.
Sure.
That's the thing about it. And so when you look at those numbers, even if you take every single defensive touchdown away, even if you don't give them any credit for any extra points or missed field goals had there not been injuries, this is still the number 14 scoring offense in the country if you take all those things away. And that doesn't even include looking at other teams who also had special teams touchdowns, defensive touchdowns, things along those lines.
That's what I was going to say. I mean, that's assuming that you're still counting every other team's defensive touchdowns, special teams touchdowns, and you're taking Notre Dame's away from that. So, that's what I was going to hit on.
So we go into the overall numbers. This is an interesting one because they rank 40th overall in total offense at 421.3 yards per game. And so you say, well, 40th overall, that kind of puts that scoring number a little bit into proper context, doesn't it? They're actually 11 yards fewer per game than last year. Well, that's why I always include yards per play, because I think that is a much better statistic to measure your offense's effectiveness than total yards, because total yards doesn't tell you what your field position like. You know what I mean? There's a lot of times where you're not getting the ball. You're getting the ball at midfield, you can only get 50 yards. Where if you got it on your 10 and went on a scoring drive, you get 90 yards. So I think the 6.7 yards per play is a better example of where they are. And I think the 6.7 yards per play, despite ranking, look at that number to the right, 71st in yards per pass attempt, speaks volumes about how good this offense actually is. Because their rushing yards per play is not a whole lot different than their passing yards per play, which is good and bad, and we'll talk about both. But this is a team, as you can see, Trev, by the numbers, is vaulted by its run game. And here's the interesting thing about the run game. Notre Dame doesn't really have that one crazy number or two crazy games that kind of vault the number. So if you actually look, like, for example, when I think of the 2017 run game, which was the best I've ever seen at Notre Dame in my lifetime. I mean, that was just still, to even now with this group, still the best one that I've seen. They had a 515-yard performance. They had a 442-yard performance. They had a 380-yard performance, a 377-yard performance. This team only went over 300 yards one time. And that was 362 against Purdue. They only went over 270 yards two other times. What made this team so good running the football, Trev, was the consistency with which they ran the football effectively. And you look at that 2017 team, which was great. And I'm only comparing this unit to that because it fits when you're talking about how good is it. You compare it to the best you've seen. That team that year, Trev, went over 200 yards seven times. Actually went over 300 yards seven times, but over 200 yards seven times. And when you look at this football team and the way that they've performed, they actually went over 200 yards eight times. Now, they only went over 300 once, but they went over 200 eight times. That doesn't include another game in which they went for 198 and another game in which they went for 168. So when you look at the numbers, Trev, it's like they did this consistently. Whereas when you look at the 2017 offensive line, which I think was hurt because of the fact they just did not have a legit, like, this team throws the ball way better than the 2017 did. Way better. This team has much better running backs, in my opinion, which is debatable. Some can have, than that 2017 team, especially when it comes to making people miss. But that team was held below 175 yards, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 times that year. This team was held below 175 yards three times, right? So it's the consistency with which we've seen this offense perform. Ranked 10th nationally in yards per game at 224.8. They rank third in the country in yards per carry. It's at 6.3. It should be noted that their rushing offense, also the 6.3, is number one amongst Power 5 teams. The only teams higher are New Mexico and Boise State. Boise State with Ashton Jeanthe is at 6.32. Notre Dame is at 6.30. The next closest Power 5 team is a Big 12 team, Kansas State, at 5.86. So, if my math is – actually, let me just do the math here real quick so I don't say something. Then it'll look like an idiot because my math is correct. Let's see here. So what's 6.3 minus 5.5 – I keep hitting the wrong button. So let's go 6.3. I'm having a tough technological day today, Trev. 5.86, so that's 0.44. Yeah, so I'm correct. Notre Dame is closer to being number one than number four is to Notre Dame at number three. They're 0.37 behind number one. They're 0.44 ahead of number four. To put into context where that ranking is, rushing touchdowns, Notre Dame ranks third in rushing touchdown or fifth in rushing touchdowns at 40. Two of the teams that are ahead of them have played one more game. Boise State's at 42. Jacksonville State's at 48. Notre Dame only has one Power 5 team that ranks ahead of them in rushing touchdowns. That's Bama at 41. And Bama has 31 more carries than Notre Dame. So Alabama this year rushed for 41 touchdowns. Notre Dame rushed for 40. Notre Dame ran for 2,698 yards. Bama ran for 2,192. And Notre Dame did that in 31 fewer carries. They averaged 6.3 yards per carry. Bama was a 4.78. So it just puts into context how explosive this running game was. They ranked 12th in the country in rushing in rushes of 20 yards or more. What I find fascinating, Trev, about that is the further you go out, the higher Notre Dame ranks. So they ranked 12th in runs of 20 yards or more. They rank third in runs of 30 yards or more, which I found fascinating. And they rank second in runs of 50 yards or more. So actually, the further you go out, the more explosive, like the more impressive it becomes and how good this run game has been. That's been really the fuel that has really driven this offense this season.
Yeah, I think that's what makes this rushing attack so dangerous. Not only is it consistent, they can also take one to the house on any given play. And typically when you talk about home run backs, you're talking about either a guy or two that, you know, they might go 1 yard, loss of two, gain of three, gain of 62, right? For Notre Dame's offense, it is a lot of, you know, gain of four, gain of five, you know, gain of one, gain of 12, then gain of 17, then gain of 22. And so, you know, I think it's a testament to 4 and 24 from the home run perspective, but you touched on it earlier in the show, the offensive line in run blocking is a testament to how consistent this running game is, right? How Notre Dame's offensive line is in the running game and the combination of the running backs that they have makes them extremely dangerous. That's, I mean, very, very high on this Notre Dame rush game for sure.
Third down offense has been one of the problem areas. We'll dive more into that here in a little bit. They rank 87th there. And then you have the complete opposite kind of storyline over on the other side. And, you know, passing yards per game, they rank 196.4. They rank 101st, rank 71st in yards per attempt, 114th in yards per completion, 60th in passing touchdowns. They have not turned the ball over a lot. That's obviously a positive. Notre Dame has 5 interceptions on the year. That ties them for 6th nationally. The interesting thing about that, Trevor, is you've had 2 in that set game against Northern Illinois. They've only had 3 of them since then. You had 1 against Georgia Tech, 1 against Virginia, and 1 against USC. And so they have done a good job of protecting the football in the pass game, because if you're not going to be a dynamic pass game, you better protect the football.
Right.
They rank 38th in the country in pass efficiency, which is a good indication of their pass game is competent beyond what the numbers may show, because they just don't throw it a lot. And they especially haven't done so the last 5-6 games, you know, when you look at it that regard. For example, Notre Dame ranks 101st in passing yards per game. They rank 105th in passing attempts this season. So they haven't thrown the ball a ton. And that also factors in why they rank 22nd in sacks. That's a good ranking, but it's not indicative of the struggles they've had protecting the quarterback, because, you know, A, Riley Leonard saved you a lot of sacks from making people miss. And then when you think about the fact that you rank 22nd, but you rank 105th in pass attempts, it kind of tells you a little bit about that. And then red zone offense this year, it's a very weird number, Trev. So they rank 74th in red zone offense. It's not good, right? Not good. That's driven not by the offense. That's driven by the special teams, because they've had so many misses on field goals. If you look at touchdown percentage, Notre Dame ranks 10th in touchdown rate in the red zone. That's more indicative of how their offense is. And we'll talk more tomorrow about that special teams number, because I don't know that I've ever seen a team rank. I've seen teams rank like in the 70s in touchdown red zone offense and then 10th in red zone offense because they kick a lot of field goals. I don't know that I've ever seen a team rank this low in red zone offense and rank 10th in red zone touchdown offense. That says that your special teams are a problem. And we'll dive more into that tomorrow, but that 10th is a good number. And then of course, Notre Dame ranks 25th in the country when it comes to turnover margin.
One question that I do have about the turnover margin is, are they also factoring in special teams? Because I saw a stat somewhere that Notre Dame's running back room only had one fumble lost all year. And then I know Bo Collins had one, and then Riley Leonard's 5 interceptions, but I know Max Hurlman muffed a punt. There's been some muffed kickoffs. Like, is special teams factored into that?
I do believe it is factored in. Yes.
Okay.
And of course, like you said, they've had those turnovers. So you have the 5 interceptions plus, let me see here real quick. So Notre Dame as a team has had 5 interceptions all by Riley Leonard. So that's 5 of the 12.
Yep.
You had the muffed kickoff against Louisville.
Yep.
Right? You had, I'm trying
Price's
to think.
Fumble against well, Louisville.
That was an offense. I'm trying to think of the special teams ones. Yep. You had the muffed fumble against, I know Max Hurlman had one. When did he have his?
Virginia.
So that's 2. Yeah, Jadarian Price fumbled one. But, like, you had, like, I believe, yeah, Bo Collins had a fumble. I know Jordan Faison had a fumble. I believe Riley lost a fumble. Remember that he had that long run against Miami of Ohio where they came up behind him.
That's
and
right.
The ball
That's
out.
Right, yeah.
So, like, they've lost fumbles, just haven't been from the running backs. Jadarian Price has been the only one that's fumbled from the running back room. I'm going to go try to find the Notre Dame statistics here to find out who lost the fumbles. But, yeah, special teams, receivers, and quarterbacks are a big reason why their fumble number is as high as it is.
Okay.
Because they've lost 7 fumbles this season, and I do believe that includes special teams as well. And I'm actually going to look that up kind of while we're talking about this.
Okay, cool. I wanted to make sure. I assumed if, you know, points per game was also factored in by defensive and special team scored, I assume that turnovers were as well, but you know, the old saying about assuming.
So oh, yes.
Just wanted to make sure.
I definitely get it. So that Trev, that's kind of just statistically, give me your thoughts on the statistics for the Notre Dame offense as we kind of go through this.
Yeah, man. I mean, I think this is going to lead perfectly into the things that they need to do well in the playoffs and the things that they need to improve upon. I think you can look at this graphic right here. And, you know, I've already seen people in the chat kind of break things down and talk about, you know, where Notre Dame needs to win in the playoffs and in the postseason and the areas that they have to improve. You know, most notably the running game once again for Notre Dame, and it's an ideology of Marcus Freeman, but the run game has proven to be kind of the go-to card for Notre Dame on offense. And we talked about this for the, I believe it was our game day show, about how teams that kind of win the day and teams that won the day were teams that were able to rush the football. You know, you look at Arizona State with Cam Scataboo. You look at what Georgia did in the second half against Texas. Penn State was able to stay in that game because they had 2 guys go for over 100 yards. You know, Oregon established, I think they had like 180 yards or something on the ground, something like that in a game like that. You know, you look at, you know, SMU, the moment might have been too big for them, but Clemson let them crawl back into that game because they rushed for 64 yards on the ground off of like 30 attempts. So the rushing game is going to be huge for Notre Dame in the postseason, right? And then you look at the other side and you look at the passing game, which I know we're going to dive into, so I won't break that down too much. But, you know, third down, you have to be better. Red zone touchdown conversions, I like, to be honest with you, I like where they're at. It's just, we'll dive more into that on Wednesday. Turnovers, keep taking care of the football. Riley Leonard's done a really good job of that this year. The one thing that I will add to this, and I know we'll talk about it more in key improvements, but there's no stat on here for it, is those drive-killing penalties. Those penalties early in the downs that get you behind the sticks and they put you in first and 20, first and 25, second and 15. Those are going to be other ones where we talk around key improvements that are things that are going to have to be essentially eliminated in the playoffs because there can be no wasted possessions once you get into the postseason. So, but overall, statistically, it paints a really good picture of where Notre Dame is at and where they need to be moving forward.
So, Trev, as we look at the fumbles on the season, so you had two, you lost two against Miami of Ohio, and those were, you had the long Riley Leonard fumble, and then Jordan Faison also lost a fumble in that game on a punt. I believe that was also on a punt. Then you had, you lost two fumbles against Louisville. That's the kickoff return by Devin Ford to start the game, and then Jadarian Price, that's the one running back fumble. So you have a quarterback, two special teams, and a running back. Your next fumble came against Stanford. That was Bo Collins. It was a receiver fumble. Then you had the punt return fumble by Max Hurlman against Virginia, and then you had the Jaden Thomas fumble against USC. So you had a quarterback fumble, you had one running back fumble, two receiver fumbles, and then three special teams fumbles. So special teams has been a problem for Notre Dame this year in a lot of ways. That's going to have to get cleaned up. But the other one is the receivers. I mean, you've got, you can't have receivers losing balls like that. Your ball carriers, your heavy ball carriers, your guys at running back and quarterback that combined for, say, 258 plus a number, another 89 for those. So that's 258 for Jeremiah and Riley, yet another 89 for Jadarian, plus 57 for Aeneas and Kedron. That's 404 carries, actually another 13 for Devin Ford. So your quarterbacks and running backs had 417 carries. They fumbled the ball twice. Your receivers on the season only caught 215 passes and fumbled the ball three times. Like, you can't have, one of them was on special teams. You can't have that. You can't have that. And so that's going to be a big part of it. But it hasn't been as big of an issue lately on offense. You did have the one by Jaden Thomas, but it kind of came as a surprise when it happened, honestly. It was like, whoa, what just happened? Because the Notre Dame offense hadn't lost a fumble since the Louisville game.
Yep. And
Stanford game.
And obviously I'm a huge proponent of ball security, but that was also a really good play by the USC defender. So obviously, end of the day, the ball's in your arms. You got to have good ball security, but that was also a really good punch out by that USC defender coming from behind. So look, if there is one, I'm not saying that I'll live with any turnover, but at least it wasn't something as, you know, the Jadarian Price one earlier in the year was tough. It wasn't a muffed punt, so good play by a defender. I'll give you a mulligan, I suppose.
Yeah. And just so people are clear, we're talking about fumbles that were lost.
Yep.
Not fumbles that, that just times fumbled. Cause there were, you know, Jeremiah had one near the, had fumbled in the end zone. Remember early in the year?
And yeah.
So they've had a couple other fumbles, but those are the ones that they lost.
Yeah.
So that's a look at Notre Dame statistics, Trev, before we get to the next part of the show, just kind of a look at where they are, where they came from. So sort of a present to look back kind of situation. And then next, in the next segment, we'll talk about what comes next. But before we get to that, folks, do us a favor, hit the like button, hit the subscribe button, hit the notification bell, share this podcast, give us a 5-star review. We would greatly appreciate that. If you've not done so, make sure that you sign up for us on the message boards at boards.irishbreakdown.com. Man, it's a great community over there. A lot of talk going on about the season. There's some recruiting talk going on. People talking about selling tickets, buying tickets. You know, there's some people trying to sell tickets on the board. It's a great place to be. And it's also the best way that you can support Irish Breakdown. You can find that at boards.irishbreakdown.com.